This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Now we're talking about young people. We've got a young man sitting in front of us here in the studio, and he knows how to speak to young people. It's Liam De Toy, Youth and Young Adults Pastor at El Shaddai Christian Church in Durbanville. Morning, Liam.
Morning. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, nice to hang out with you.
Yeah.
When I think about young people, I think about young, energetic. They know their way around technology. They've got hope and for the future, and I guess there's this element of who knows what's coming, but the world is our oyster.
Yeah.
And then we're on this other side where we're a bit older and we think a little bit more pragmatically about life and all of that. Maybe we're free of, we lack that freedom that young people have. Yeah. But as someone who spends quality time with young people in that space, like, where are the young people going? Is there hope in your heart for this next generation?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah? Definitely. I think we live in a beautiful time when it comes to that because, young people are so curious about Scripture. They have such great questions. They're so passionate and so full of life. Mm. Obviously, every generation is a bit different, but when it comes to the youth particularly, absolutely. Mm.
Yeah. So when you spend time at El Shaddai, and I know that you're working with the youth and with the young people, that focus that you have on Scripture, at a time when there's so many distractions that young people are having out there, whether it's their phones, whether it's school, whether it's friends or whatever, but still to come back to this unchanging word, how have you been bringing that word to young people that's keeping them focused, interested, and connected?
Yeah, absolutely. I often view this generation of youth as being born into, you know, like those old static televisions, those ones with that little hum and that little static and stuff. Yeah. That's kind of the generation they've been born into. There's distraction everywhere. They live in a noisy generation. Mm. And I think that's so big when it comes to things like social media, which isn't very social anymore. It's actually just media. Or when it comes to, you know, academics or sports or school, there's so many things that are going on in their life. It's very difficult for them to hear the voice of God for themselves and actually hear it. And we see that in Scripture all the time, where Jesus retreats to a quiet place, somewhere to actually hear the voice of God for himself. So I think when it comes to Scripture and when it comes to what he's saying, you know, this generation of youth, there is a big battle in being able to get into Scripture for themselves. But the focus that we really need to have is helping them interact with their Scripture and helping them get into it in that.
So what's been the most effective approach for you? I'm sure there are different ways, but what's really worked well for you in the church in which you operate that's really been reaching the young people and developed this passion again for the Word?
Yeah, absolutely. I love the word that you use, their approach, because that's such an important thing, is that we know that the message of God and the good news of God is relevant to every generation and within every generation and every season of their life. Mm. And that's so important. The message doesn't change. The narrative of Scripture doesn't change. But the approach, I think, is a really important thing for the youth, is that this generation, I found, not so much in theory but in practice, is a really interactive generation. Mm. And we need to interact with them. And that's kind of what I mentioned there at the start. It's just they really can get into Scripture. You know, they really are curious, and they often ask questions that are far more difficult than any of the adults would ask or anything like that. And they are like so passionate about Christ, but the big thing is interacting with them. And I think that is such an important thing, is that, you know, there's a Scripture where it talks about being able to correct, encourage, and rebuke. And we need to interact with the teens to be able to do that. They can't be passive, you know, on the sidelines. We need to really get into Scripture with them. And when we do, I mean, I just see boundless passion there.
Yeah, that's so awesome. I don't know if there's something that you had on your mind that you wanted to ask, Liam.
You know, I'm just impressed. You know, I feel like, you know, we need more young youth leaders like you, youth pastors, you know, who are so passionate and being intentional about listening to these young people.
Yeah.
You know, how do you navigate? You know, because you have different personalities and characteristics going on, you know, to try and get them to be quiet in a space. You know, they just want to do their own thing, and sometimes to get them to say, listen, we're going to get on. There are some that are hungry for the Word, and there are others who want to come to youth for fun, you know. And it's always like, I always look at our youth and I was like, how do you get them to stop thinking about the fun and listen, get into the Word? Does all of the youth just want to get into the Word?
Yeah, so I mean, I have so much to comment on that. And I think a big part is the perspective, at least at ESCC Youth, the perspective we have, it really comes from 1 Corinthians, where Paul talks about, I planted, Apollos watered, but God made the growth come. And that's so much in my own testimony and what really drives me to getting into their lives is that when I grew up, youth was one of the most influential parts of my spiritual formation, right? But it wasn't until my first year of university that the penny actually dropped. But when it did, I had this inheritance and this wealth of knowledge from all those pastors and all those sermons and all those messages beforehand that then when I clicked and I was like, okay, I'm really going to do this Jesus thing and follow him. What happened then was I had a firm foundation to build from. So that's an important thing, is the way, I mean, at least we view in youth, is that, you know, we plant them in a healthy fellowship of Christians. We water them every week with the word of God. And God will bring the growth when he wants to bring the growth. But that is what we're trying to set them up with. So whether they're coming through to just have fun or whether they're coming through to really dig deep, I'm like, yes, for both sides. So we just really want to plant them in a healthy community, water them with the word of God.
Awesome.
And when God chooses to grow that, they'll have an inheritance and a wealth of knowledge to work from.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, that's incredible. And then you've got those that sort of come just to have a little bit of fun. But the connections, Liam, are you seeing connections of people sort of, how can I say, they're joining together, maybe little cliques of things. Oh, we go to the similar school, or we live in the same neighborhood. And then they're actually sort of creating these little groups of we connect and we share and we grow together. Are you seeing that kind of a thing happen?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's perfectly natural for youth. I mean, a big part, we've been doing an identity series lately and just trying to get them to put their identity in the right place. And I mean, friends and friendship groups and affinity groups and, you know, groups of commonality and stuff is a massive thing. And I think that that, again, isn't something to try and go away from, but to embrace. I mean, that's how we are with all people. You know, you get cycling groups, you get whatever sort of groups that you do together. And that's so important, which I think also with your question is just that when it comes to the teens is relationship, you know, when it comes to getting them to settle down or, you know, pay attention and stuff like that, is that a relationship is the biggest anchor, I think, for that. And with that comes discipleship. But is that when you have a relationship with them, and that happens through groups like that, through, you know, going and doing what they're doing and sharing in what their interests are and what they love and what they're excited about, and then using that as a place to disciple.
Because they're still going to do life. They're still going to game or go and play five-a-side soccer, or, you know, go to the beach and do stuff. But it's in that space where I think there's safety and maybe accountability and guys saying, hang on a moment, this is actually the direction we ought to go in. I'll give you a gentle tug. I mean, that's really what you're hoping for.
Yes. No, absolutely.
Have you got a word of advice for us as parents with youth? You know, sometimes we feel like we got to have more control over our kids, we got to give them more space. I mean, what are you seeing and hearing from young people that we can do as parents that could actually facilitate what they need in the spiritual space?
That's a massive question. one thing is quite hard to narrow down, but I think I'd really go back to that scripture and just say, make sure the teens have everything they need in spiritual ingredients to form into Christ's likeness. Because it's a holistic view, right? They need to have a fellowship with their peers where they can iron sharpens iron, you know, where they can be together, be encouraged by each other, challenged by each other, see each other rise. So there's the, you know, being in a healthy fellowship. There's having somebody to disciple them, which is a massive thing. And somebody they vibe with. It's got to be someone they get on with and they enjoy and they look up to. And kind of in a, you know, a little bit further down the spiritual journey, but not too far down either, so that they're still in the same context. And then there's, as parents, of course, in just actually living in accordance with your beliefs, so that they can look up to you and see, okay, you know, we know in psychology that actions speak far louder than words. And I think obviously saturating in prayer and having time to spend with God, as I said, this, you know, that static that's around, don't often get time to retreat to that wilderness place and just be with God. And I think when you have all of those ingredients together, you're really setting them up for success. And you're setting them up when God chooses to drop that penny and they go, okay, I'm going to live an active life for Christ. Then they have all of this backing and a firm foundation to work
This is exciting. I mean, when you hear a youth pastor speak about this, I mean, this is exciting stuff, and this is what you hope for as parents.
You know, my mentor always says to me, rules and regulations without relationship breeds rebellion. And sometimes parents don't have relationships with their children, you know, and this is where the rebellion comes in. Then they come to the church and the youth pastor has to now deal with this rebellion and try to get this youth to come in alignment, you know. So it's a give and give all the time, not a give and take. I feel it's a give and give from the child and the parent. But I see you're a youth and a young adult pastor. How do you balance that? I mean, they're different age groups. Do you have different nights?
Yes, we do. And a lot of prayer to balance certain discerning. I'm also blessed with a wonderful overseer. So I really get a lot of wisdom in helping to discern that. Mm. And I think with balance, we do have separate nights. So we have teaching Thursdays for young adults. Okay. And then we have our Friday night youth service.
Okay.
And very different age groups, and very different approaches, like you mm-hmm. used just now, mm. in the sense that we're really setting up the youth to grow in the Word of God. Where young adults are a little bit on the other side, where they're a little bit more independent than they've ever been. They really want to live life. They want to live it to the fullest. And that's scripture. You know,
right.
Christ calls us to do that, but He created us in a certain way to live. Mm. And that's kind of where we come with young adults, is really trying to help them understand that Christ wants you to live, but He wants you to live in the way that He created you to. So that's the kind of different approach that we have with them.
Wow, beautiful.
Yeah, I love that. Just thinking about young people, often you say, no, you know, you can't make a contribution, you're young. Sit down, let the adults have the say now. Let the adults pray. You know, someone needs for healing, let the adults pray. And I think that happens probably way too often. We had a conversation with somebody yesterday where they said there's still some places this mentality of children should be seen and not heard.
Mm.
But we need to let the young people pray. We need to let them rise up. I mean, this seems to me like the best way that we might be caught by surprise as adults, right, when we see what's in the heart and the spirit of the youth.
Yeah, I agree. I think that if you don't, you're setting them up for failure.
Mm.
Because the generation that they've been born into with social media and all of that is an interactive generation where they have a voice, and where it's an interesting thing. In my studies, I had a look at how the world is expecting youth to be adults. But then, you know, it's the church, sometimes we're expecting them to be children. And now they're stuck in this in-between where they don't know what they are. They're like, must I be an adult or must I be a child? And the exact thing is that I think that we really need to get them to engage, because they've been born into a generation of engagement.
Mm-hmm.
We have a very interactive youth service where we have massive red buttons that allow us to have a little bit of a hybrid preaching style for them to interact with me and talk. And the things that they say and the things that they are able to quote from scripture and pull back, and when you push back at them and say, was that from scripture? Was that from, you know, something you heard?
Yeah.
Or is that from a friend or something like that? They are incredible. And I think that the problem more lies with us underestimating them. I think you can also look through scripture and see so many stories about God. Age isn't a thing.
Mm.
Spiritual maturity is.
Yeah, yeah.
And they really are mature.
Yeah. How do we support, just as we start to wrap this up, Liam, how do we support the young people? Do we say, what did you hear about at youth? Do they want to talk about that? Do they want to keep that amongst themselves? Do they want us to unpack it with them and to offer our two cents? Or they're like, don't worry, we did that already, and I don't want to hear what you have to say. Or do we need to interact with the young people around what they're learning?
Yeah, that's also a great question. I think, I had to think on that one. I'd say that you very much want, at least with the youth pastor and parents, great connection between those two. So that you have communication between what is happening in youth, what is the studies and stuff.
Yeah.
And definitely as a parent, you want to discuss those things. But I think it's also knowing what role you play in their life and having expectations for them.
Mm.
So if your expectations as a parent is to be a peer friend, I don't think that is going to happen. You can be friends with your parents, of course, and that's a wonderful thing, but it's a different dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing is somebody that's just 10 years older than them, that's not a part of the family, they will bring things to them. And that's a great thing to have a good relationship with that person that's discipling them. And as well as, so I think when you ask the question, driving back in the car, what happened to that youth and everything, ask those questions and stuff. But I think the expectation is also just to make sure that you are looking at their spiritual formation holistically and trying to have them hemmed in at every corner and every side, and not trying to be everything to them, but trying to be that key place. And especially what I mentioned is showing them that you are living in accordance with your beliefs, because that is so important. Because if they hear everything else, but they come home and they see that you don't.
Yeah, that's a great area where you're stuck. You're like, it's not a place you want to be in. Someone commenting on our Facebook feed here saying, I've been to churches where they actually allow the children to pray for healing. I have a story like that. My mom was an unbeliever and came to church, and I go to El Shaddai Christian Church, and she came and she had no idea what to expect, and we invited her, and it was during a conference on one Friday night, I think it was. she came in and we invited her, and then they were, you know, you could see the spirit was moving, and I'm thinking, this poor mother of mine is getting freaked out. And there was a call for all the kids. They said, if you're 13 years or younger, come to the front and receive prayer, which they did. And then they said, okay, now that you've received prayer, turn around and go and find somebody to pray for. And a young girl came up to where my mom was, and I thought, this is going to be interesting. And she just touched my mom's hand, and my mother was on her back.
Sure.
Oh, I was slain in the spirit right there, and that was a massive turning point for her to coming to know Jesus. So I got that testimony out of my own family life to see a young girl could do what needed to do to start a transformation, which has ultimately led to a life in Jesus. So let's not underestimate what the young people can do.
Yeah.
Liam, thank you for today. So thanks for coming to hang out with us. This is really great. You're at El Shaddai Christian Church. For parents listening, or even grandparents, aunts and uncles listening and saying, hey, we live in the Durbanville area, and we'd love to plug our young people into something vibrant and based on what you're saying. Are you open to taking more youngsters?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah?
Definitely. We have what we call 12 tribes going, which is 12 like almost cell groups or Bible study groups. And what we do on a Friday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And this is all on our website at ESCC. And what we do is, you know, we come together, we worship together, we have a good gathering, but the best part for me of the evening is the teaching of scripture, and that's where things really come alive. And they make their small groups all around me in a circle, and then I stand in the middle, and then we talk, and they have this way of interacting with me, which is what we call an IRB, an interactive red button. When they press it down, it shows on the projectors, it goes through the speakers, and they see their group up, and then their group is able to answer, and their group is able to discuss scripture.
That's amazing. So, inclusivity is a word coming. They like that inclusivity. Do I have time to ask him a question?
Yes.
I saw something on media the other day, I think it was yesterday or the day before, where one of the youth groups were excommunicated from the church, and they were now advertising for a venue, but then they wanted to know, who is this pastor that does these kind of things? And from what I gathered, just going down the feed, I don't like listening to people bashing other pastors and leaders, but the one thing he said was, what do you do when they start smoking in your church? And I'm like, oh my goodness, you know what? That's a small thing. The church building, for me, in a sense, is not, you know, it's not the place to do that. But it's also, it's just a building, you know, for goodness sake. How would you as a youth pastor deal with that? Just for somebody listening out there.
Yeah, yeah. Guys are asking really good questions today. I think for me is you got to understand the age group of that. Young adults is a little bit of a different age group when it comes to it. And what we do have is we do have strict boundaries, but with reason. So, you know, the gates get closed at a certain time for safety. You know, there's no vaping or smoking in the quad or anything like that. And that's the rules of coming through to the church. And I agree. Yes, we do want inclusivity and everything like that. But for the age group of youth, we really need to protect them and hem them in that. So we are quite strict when it comes to that rules. Luckily enough, we haven't run into many of the problems with that, because I think it is very clear when they come through that, you know, when you're coming through to youth on a Friday night, we're gathering in the name of Jesus, and that's why we are coming together. So the structure and the way we run the evening is around that. And what's really wonderful is we do have a massive parent body that is involved with youth. So we have parents that kind of just walk around the quad and check the parking lots and stuff like that, so that those young adults who are volunteering to help and myself and everything can focus on the youth on the night. So we have a few procedures in which, you know, help us with that. And I think the important thing is just to know why we're gathering. And that's the reason we're gathering. And because of that, I think you do have liberty to put some strict rules in. And that's not to excommunicate anybody or to push anyone away. But that is just the reason for the gathering on a Friday night. And then from that, obviously, you want to still build a relationship and talk to people and get into those places so that the Word of God can move there too.
Thank you. I hope they're listening so they can take this nugget. You know? I would have said the same.
That's amazing. Thanks, Liam. So before you go, if, as I said, there might be some people listening saying, hey, we'd love it. Find a home for our youth and our young people in our home to enjoy something like you've explained, Bible-based teaching where there's fun, but also the good stuff that's important. How can they get in touch and find out more?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, our website is our main portal, escc.co.za.
Okay.
And if you go there and you go to our webpage, you'll be able to see there's contact information for me. And then there's also, we have a live status of when youth is on. Our times are there, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., our location's there and everything. So I'd really just drive people to the website. All the information's there. And it's a very nice, fun, interactive website where you can see a lot of what actually happens at youth.
Nice.
Yeah, go and check it out, escc.co.za. youthandyoungpeople.co.za. And this is El Shaddai Christian Church's youth and young adult pastor, Liam Dutoy. Thanks, Liam. Appreciate your time. Thanks for hanging out a little bit extra. And we had so many questions for you, but people are encouraged and they're loving this uplifting conversation where they say there's so much hope for our youth. And that's exactly what this Grace-a-thon has been about. So a massive thanks to you, Liam. Thanks for coming through.
Thank you.
So as you've been listening now, we want to be a part of this. And I often speak about our areas of impact, our metron of rule, as it were. So where Liam is, he's got his space, and I've got my space. Terry's got her space, so we can go in and interact and change the world around us positively. It's where we shop. It's where you go to gym. It's where you exercise your hobbies. It's where you live. All of these things come together, and that's the space that God's given us influence and a place to do our thing. And that includes you as well. So we get excited doing this Grace-a-thon because we want to start to influence in that area of youth more than we have in the past. Not something that we've taken as seriously as we should have, and that's why this Grace-a-thon is so important to us. So be part of keeping us on the air as Radio K Pulpit so we can continue the good work that God has started over the last 13 years. We want to continue on and on and on by the grace of God. And we also want to include programming for young people, content for young people. We want to make sure that there's also a safe radio place in a world where everything is a podcast or an online or a subscription-based download somewhere along the line, but there can still be good old-fashioned radio where there's still a safe place to come and hear the good news of the gospel. And I think it's going to be good for us to hang out with the likes of Liam and ask people like him and others, how do we go about doing this well? I think that's got to be the next process for us. So we're looking to all of you to support us. So simply send the word grace, G-R-A-C-E, to our WhatsApp line number 0817291657. You'll get a message back that'll ask you how much you want to sow into Radio K Pulpit and your name. That'll pop up on my screen. I'll share that with you as well. And we'll see who's exercising their faith in generous giving. And thanks so much for those of you that already have. Massive thanks to Liam. It's almost a quarter to 9 o'clock. We've got 15 more minutes together before news at 9, making way for TC and Abide, but some music. Then we'll be back.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.